Welcome to River of Hope this morning. If this is your first time here, we want to take just a moment to welcome you, to just thank you for coming and choosing to join us in worshiping Jesus this morning. Maybe it's been a while since you've been back. We are glad that you have decided to come back. I know summer gets really busy, and we start going all over the place and doing everything we can in the few short months of nice weather we get before August decides it's turning to fall when it's supposed to be summer and all of that fun stuff. So we are glad that you are here with us today. Today is a special day. I'm not going to jump into a message right away. I'm not going to get off track like I did last week. We will be taking up an offering for our regular tithes and offerings. I will give you this note real quick. You've seen the little cards on the seats throughout your row. We are actually doing a missions-focused Sunday today. I will give you more information about those as we get there. The fun thing about today is not only are we focusing on missions and the call of the church, but we're inviting our kids to be a part of it with us, and our kids' pastor, Josh, is with us this morning. He's going to give us some updates and some really, really cool things going on that they're planning and that they're doing. One thing I love about this church, this congregation, is that it's not just a fake passion for missions. It's true. It's in the core. It's in the root of this building. It's in the root of each and every one of our lives that we hope to reach more and more people each and every day of our lives. So we're going to focus on that today, and we'll get into more of that after our offering and announcements this morning. I started preaching already. I'm sorry. Let's pray this morning before we take up our tithes and offerings. Wow. The God voice. Are we fixed? Almost? Maybe? Yeah? Okay. There we go. We're back. Bow with me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we can just be in this place. Lord, not that this building is significant, Lord, but the gathering of these people here together is significant. It's who you've called us to be, the church, your hands, your feet. Father, we thank you for the provision you've given each and every one of us, the skills, the gifts, the talents, the abilities. Lord, the gifts that you've blessed us with, and we give back to you from what you have given us. Lord, we ask that you would take this tithe, that you would receive it, Father, that you would bless it and multiply it for your kingdom's purpose. We thank you for your unfailing provision and restoration over each and every one of us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. We have just a few quick announcements this morning. We have our next backyard barbecue sign up here ready to pass out. Jamie, would you raise your hand and just let everybody know who you are? It is going to be at Jamie Cliver's home, so you can connect with him. I assume at some point we'll have a printed direction sheet or something along those lines out on our information table. But I'm going to pass around the food sign-up sheet for that. It is coming up September 10th, so it's just, as my wife would say, 2 weeks away. And I claim to fight that one pretty well, but it's coming fast. So September 10th is the next backyard barbecue. I believe the last one was a success. We were not here. We were out of town. But it sounded like everybody had a lot of fun over at your place, Gina. And I always miss it. Every time we can't make one, it's not often that we don't make one, but it's always something that our family truly misses, getting to hang out with you guys and just enjoy each other's company. That's coming September 10th following service. Details will follow as long as with the sign-up sheet. Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying right now. I'm reading a sheet and trying to announce at the same time. Ladies' Day is at Camp Four Springs coming up September 14th. It is a $25 registration. Who should they contact for more information? Ember? All right, ladies, if you're interested in that, contact Ember for more details. That is coming up September 14th. Guys, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on men's conference. I'm hoping to get registrations for everyone we have signed up on our foyer table today. So after service, I'm going to go through that and do some the registration for that event. It is September 23rd and 24th. That's a Friday evening and a Saturday. We would leave here in the afternoon on Friday, usually about 3 or 3:30. We try and take off. So hopefully you can fit your work day in and you're not having to take any vacation or anything like that. You're just sacrificing a little bit of time from your home. And trust me, it's worth it. The one weekend a year that we men take to join together and to worship God and to get some good, solid teaching specifically for us. We need to do that. We need to invest in ourselves. One quick note on that. I'm not just speaking to the guys, ladies too. When there's events that come up, they're specifically geared to pour into you, okay? And think of the bank, right? You have to put something in the bank to be able to take it back out. So your life is like a bank, and you need to have something poured into you so that you can pour back out to others. So guys, ladies, it's the same thing. We got to be pouring into ourselves through whatever means possible so that we can, you know, help our families, help our community, and be everything that God's created us to be. We can't do it when we're empty. So we need to keep that in mind. Guys, that's a direct challenge to all of you. September 23rd and 24th, registration is currently at $85. I believe it'll knock back down to $80 because I think we're at 10 guys now, which is awesome. I'm really excited about that. I think that's our biggest group from this church. So that means a lot to me, guys. It means you're stepping up. You're taking the time to invest in yourselves and your relationship with Christ. That is huge. I love seeing that happen. That would be nice. If you are able to write a check out for that, just write Men's Conference in the memo. You can make it out to River of Hope. If you can't do it today, make sure you get it in the offering as soon as possible. We'll cover it in advance, and then it can be recouped as we go. So we will make it work either way. Just make sure your name is on that sign-up sheet out on the foyer table. This morning, as I already talked about, we're going to be doing a missions focus. I've been talking with our advisory team about this, and we've really been trying to figure out how we as a church can continue to bring missionaries in, to bring them onto our roster and support them. And right now, how we do this, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of a background on how River of Hope does this, because we have always started with not a whole lot in the bank, right? So we can't just say, all right, I'm going to take you on, and we're going to support you at $600 a year, whatever it breaks down to be, because it's not necessarily in our budget. But missions is so important to us that when that missionary comes in and speaks, we ask for a special offering, and you guys come forward and you bless them and you give as you are able. And then we take that person on and we use the funds that we've received from that special offering. And a lot of times we as a church will pad that a little bit more to make sure that we've got what we need to do that for the year. And God has blessed us with the ability that we've not had to drop anyone after that first year. So that first year that they're on the roster from your money and maybe a little bit of the church's general funds, our budget has grown well enough that we've been able to keep all of them on board. So today what we're going to be doing and what those missions pledge forms are for is really to bolster that specific fund. We've got right now, if you look behind you on the wall, you'll see the world map and you'll see seven posters, if you will. We actually have 8 missionaries that we support. There's one that's not on there. I don't know why. I've been trying to get that for a long time so that we can see everyone that we support there. My hope is that today, after these pledge forms are filled out, I want you to pray about this. Don't let me just drive you to make a commitment this morning. As we go through this message, as we go through the day, be praying about what God might be leading you to do in supporting missions on a personal level. Now, I've never done this before. This is a new thing for me. I'm relying heavily on the Holy Spirit to be speaking to me and speaking to you through me this morning. But what I want to see is that every one of our missionaries we currently have in some way has a personal sponsor for the year. Now, you can go so far as to say, you know what, I really loved it when Jay came in and his focus was on the inner cities and these places that people don't want to be. That's his mission field. I'll support him and I'll take him on. You know, go ahead and write that right in there. I'll sponsor Jay. If you want to take a minute after service and look at those, if you want to ask questions and say, who is this? Who are they? Where are they at? I would be happy to try to fill you in. There are some on that wall that we can't mention by name or location because it is a sensitive area and that would put them in danger. That means something, guys, when these people are willing to leave the comforts of Wisconsin. Actually, almost all of them on that wall are from Wisconsin. Jay is from Missouri. We'll give him a pass. But what I need you to understand is these are our, you know, they're our people. They're from Wisconsin. And they are going to China, to Afghanistan, to the Ukraine. I'm drawing a blank on where they're all at. I think Colombia, Mexico, you're right. We have a lot of people that we support that we know as close friends that are in sensitive areas. So it means a lot to us to be able to support them and to empower them in missions. We're also going to have an announcement from Josh this morning. He's gonna share with us what the kids' ministry is doing. They have a program called BGMC. I will have him explain all of that in just a little bit. And what that does and what those monies that these kids bring in go for. And he's also got some other announcements that I'm going to leave to him. Let's read a passage this morning before we get started. It's in Matthew chapter 28. Starting at verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This passage is one of the last descriptive commands that Jesus gives us before he ascends to heaven. This is after he's raised from the dead and he's talking to his disciples and saying, hey, this is your mission. Go make disciples in all the nations. Now, when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, it is intended to be passed down to every single person that is being discipled. So it's not a command just for those 11 people that Jesus was talking to in that time, but it was meant to be, this is your mission, take it to the next person, and they'll take it to the next person, which means it transcends all the way down to each and every one of us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And to be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Acts chapter 1. We'll read verse 6 and 7. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" Jesus replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Verse 9, after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Do you see this? If you were about to pass on, you were laying there on your deathbed, and you're just, I'm not saying Jesus died, but just follow me with this one. And you have the opportunity to tell the closest people to you one thing. Normally, you know, you think of, well, I love you, and, you know, things that are going to comfort them. Now we look at Jesus, and he knows that he's leaving, right? He's not dying. He's already died and been resurrected and defeated sin and death and hell and all that fun stuff that we love to talk about. And now he's back, and he's teaching his disciples. He's working with his followers, and his last words to them are go and make disciples. That tells you the weight and the importance of that command. It is the last thing that Jesus communicated before he ascended to heaven, and now we await his return. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What he did there is he covered their hometown. Judea is our Medford. Samaria is our Taylor County surrounding area. Excuse me, Jerusalem is our Medford. Judea is the county. I got ahead of myself. I'm sorry. And Samaria is our Wisconsin, our side of the United States, if you will. But then he goes a step further. He says, don't stop there. Don't stop at your neighbor's house. Don't stop at the county line. Don't stop at the state border. Don't stop at your surrounding states, but to the ends of the earth. The message of the gospel needs to go to the ends of the earth. I want to share, I shared this last year with you, but I think it's a little bit of a challenge, actually, as well. This was something that was really encouraging to receive. We received a letter from our World Missions, basically the people that head up the World Missions Center, I guess you will, in Missouri. And the letter came in. River of Hope actually received a rank in our missions giving. And I'm gonna read just that little bit of a portion. From the communications director of the World Missions headquarters, I have heard back from many pastors that it was inspiring to be able to share with their congregations that out of 9,000 churches that support missions, they were in the leading 100, 200, or 300, etc., in one of the categories. The category in which River of Hope Assembly of God ranks highest, not number one, but the category that we personally have our highest ranking in, is the percentage increase in cash giving. And out of those 9,000 churches, we were number 13. That's impressive. That was from 2016. Now we're going through 2017, and we've taken on a few more missionaries. We've done a little bit to try to continue to grow and keep that momentum moving. But that is inspiring, but I also see it as a challenge. That if we could do that a year ago, what more might God be asking us to do now? When we give to World Missions, most of our missionaries are world missionaries. I see 5 out of the 7 on that wall right now are world missionaries, meaning their mission field is outside of the U.S., meaning they are taking their families, they're going across oceans, oftentimes to dangerous places. We have 3 missionaries that are considered U.S. missionaries. That means their mission field is here. We have one that works with Chi Alpha, which is a college campus ministry. I don't know if you are aware, but that is a very, very important mission field. Colleges are where our youth are gaining a lot of their more concrete decisions. It's where they're deciding, you know what, am I gonna believe in what I've learned as a child, assuming they came to church and went to youth group and all that fun stuff? Or am I gonna, you know, just listen to some of this crazy stuff we hear about all this other science and things that people are trying to say that claim Jesus doesn't exist and God's not there? That's where these messages are hitting hard. And the peer pressure is crazy. But we have people through the Assemblies of God that are on campus. Not just close to campus, they are on campus, spearheading this mission field and doing everything they can to bring these typically college freshmen into their group and to instruct them in how to be a peer and how to be leading others and living for Christ on the campus amongst all the peer pressure and amongst all of the challenges that they face. I told you about Jay Covert already with the U.S. mission field to the inner cities. I don't recall the number of churches he's planted, but he literally goes into the most dangerous areas of the most dangerous cities. I have him as a friend on Facebook, and often he's posting stats about how many murders were in this city, and you know, this is the number one ranked city in crime, and I'm planting a church there, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. This guy is, I don't know if he's borderline nuts or just straight up crazy, but he is a Holy Spirit-filled man, and he has an amazing heart and passion for seeing the people that we would look at as seeing them as hopeless. And he has the Spirit of God with him to have the confidence and the boldness to walk into those areas, knowing that he is protected and that he is doing the mission God has called him to. If I was more prepared, I'd bring you stats. I know his monthly budget is like $17,000. And somehow he manages to be fully funded every year. But that's what it takes for them to run their mission in, it's at least a dozen inner cities in some of the most dangerous places, debt-free. It's amazing what God is doing through these people who are just stepping out in faith and following the call that he has put on their lives. As a church, we are doing a decent job at reaching our Samaria, at working to the ends of the earth, because those are the things that we are able to send people to. We have people that call us and say, hey, I feel called. I'm going to go to, you know, I'm going to China. God's called me. He's put a pull on my heart, given me a passion to go there and to reach those people. Alexa's brother is there now, is he not? Or in training or something along those lines? He just left. He was here just a few weeks ago sharing his heart and his passion for the people he's been called to. So we do that. We support people that are going to the ends of the earth. We support missionaries who are working in our Samaria. They're working in our larger area that we have the ability to touch, but it's a little bit harder. It's outside of our state borders. It's just around us. Our nation. And we support people that are doing that work as well. Our Judea, our state. We support Dan Herod, who is the director of Youth Alive, which I'm gonna share a little announcement about that too, because there's some exciting things happening with that ministry right here in Medford. Dan Herod is—he came here and spoke, also shared with us about the call God's given him for Wisconsin and Northern Michigan to reach students, middle school and high school students. Now we all know whether it's because it really wasn't that long ago that we were in school, or from seeing our kids or seeing the public and how they're going through situations at school. We know it's a tough place. We know that it's not always easy. And Dan is bringing people in to the schools. Then they hold assemblies in the schools and they're allowed to bring people in. The announcement we have for this is in September. I believe it's like the 19th and 20th. Dan is bringing a speaker in by the name of Terrence Talley. He will be at 7 assemblies in the Medford School District. And that is amazing, guys. The public school reached out to Dan and said, I want this in our school. The message they're bringing is one of they can't share the gospel in the school assemblies. That should be kind of a known. But they can offer hope. They can speak to them about the effects of bullying and the things that has and depression and these things that our youth are battling. Oftentimes we don't even see it or hear about it. They are literally saving lives with their message that they bring to the schools. I'm working on details. There is a possibility that we as River of Hope will be able to sponsor a night rally at the school. If all of those details work out on the other end and we're able to take that on, that is where those speakers will be able to say, hey, you know what? We're going to be having a rally here tonight. And if we sponsor this event, that gives them the freedom to share the gospel of Jesus to those students. That's amazing. The fact that that is coming within a half mile of this building to reach our community and the youth in this place is amazing. And we've got Dan Herod to thank for that. Guys, these are people that we're already supporting. And we need to continue to invest in the people that are literally coming into our own backyard and ministering to our youth and to our kids. That's talking a little bit about our Jerusalem. I want to focus on our Jerusalem this morning because our Jerusalem is our mission field. It's where we are. When God hasn't placed a call on your life to say, you know what, I want you to go to I want you to cross the ocean. I want you to go to India, or I want you to go to Pakistan, or I want you to go to, I don't know, Africa, you name it. You think of all these random places God might call you. But maybe you haven't had that. But what you have had is Jesus Christ telling you through his written word, you will go into Jerusalem. That is your backyard. If I can issue one challenge this morning before I turn this over and let Josh share about the kids and what's happening there, our Jerusalem is our biggest mission field because we are all in it. Think about that. Just look around the room for a second. There's probably about 45 or 50 of us in here. Normally, we're sending 3 to 5 people out on a mission field. And it's their job to bring people into under them and to disciple them and to teach them about Jesus and to give them a hope. We've got 50 people right here. I'm including you kids too, because you guys have the power to influence your friends. You have the ability to talk to your friends, to share about Jesus with them. One thing we need to understand is the school cannot stop you from talking about your faith. They can stop me from coming in and saying something, but they can't stop you from talking to your friends. Okay? I'm looking at our new fifth graders up here. There's one key sentence that I want to point out again. Through the passage in Acts. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That means when you have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about this a little bit off and on over the past few months. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they have received what they have been waiting for, which is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. From that point on in the scriptures, that's in Acts chapter 2, where we see the day of Pentecost, the day where the Holy Spirit comes into their presence and gives them the gift of speaking in tongues. And they begin to speak, and their voice begins to become bold and powerful, speaking to people they don't know how to communicate with confidence, with passion, with drive, the clear message of Jesus Christ. Why is that important? because Jesus is preceding this mission and telling us that we need to go into our city and go into our state and go into our nation and go into all the world with, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. It doesn't say you can be. It's not a can. It's not really a choice. He's saying you will be. Because what the Holy Spirit brings within us is something that changes us on such a powerful level, people see it, and you can't help but share what Jesus is doing in your life. I've seen it through many people, and even in this place where people are coming up saying, you know, I'm really seeing something change in this person. That is God working through their life and through their circumstances. That is us beginning to realize what God is doing in our lives and how impactful and powerful it is. Do you ever have that feeling if you're kind of trying to initiate a conversation about salvation and you just get that kind of uneasy feeling, you're not sure if you should, maybe that's just me. You think, well, I'm a pastor, how can I shy away from sharing the gospel? I'm getting long-witted here, but I got to share one story. Back in high school, I was at a convention with our school, and I remember I was roomed up with a younger guy. And he was kind of nuts. He was off the wall. He was kind of one of these rebellious kids. I went to a Christian school, so if that gives you any idea, I'm not just talking like, I don't know. I'm rambling. Anyway, he initiated a conversation with me in our dorm room, and he was talking about faith and not really knowing how to trust and these things. And you know what? I did the best I could to walk him through the plan of salvation using the book of Romans and the Romans Road, if you know what that's called. If not, I'm sure Josh can explain that in great detail. He knows it well. But I'm a young kid, and I'm just thinking, you know what, I can do this. I can share this with him, and I did. I did it the best I could, and I remember, I don't know if it was a joke. I don't know if he initiated the conversation with a joke or if it was serious, and then it just flipped, and he kind of, you know, he didn't blow up, he didn't get angry, but it was just weird at the end, you know. It was just like, I felt like I failed. And I'll tell you what, that leaves a lasting impression. When your first experience on trying to share the gospel with somebody makes you feel like you're a failure and like you didn't do it right, that puts this question mark in your mind every single time you share. The thing I want to share about that whole story is I actually heard from Amanda just a few weeks ago. Okay, so this is probably 20 years later. Amanda ran into this guy and his wife in the store. It was the same person that I had tried witnessing to in that dorm room. Now he is following Christ. They're going to a different church in town. It wasn't through me. I may have planted a seed, but somebody else brought it to fruition and helped him to realize that he needs Jesus. Amen. What I need you to hear out of that story is, you know, it's our job to plant the seed. It may not be our blessing to be able to see that come to fruition and us to be able to lead them into prayer and help lead them into that process of faith. But our job is to plant that seed. It's God's job to make that seed begin to bear roots and to begin to, you know, just sink into their heart. And maybe he uses someone else to bring it to the surface and let it just pop and bloom. Don't ever, I'm speaking to myself too, don't ever shy away from the opportunity just to speak a little bit of hope and a little bit of life into somebody next to you. Amen. That got a little heavy at the end, I'm sorry. But we're going to bring this back around. I want Josh to come up this morning. I'm really excited about our kids' ministry. I'm really excited about what Josh and Lacey have been doing. I'm really excited about this announcement and campaign they're going to be doing, maybe because I spurred it on and gave him the idea. But either way, let's have Josh share with us a little bit.
God is good, am I right? I tell you what, God has been putting on my heart community outreach. It's why I do the things I do. It's why I'm on the board of directors for youth soccer. It's why I coach. I don't know what the community outreach is going to look like here, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's coming. And we're going to do some amazing things. But before I get into all that stuff, I want to take time, and I debated talking about this, but God says I need to recognize three young men right now. Zach, Zeke, and Gage, can you guys just stand up where you are, please? They don't know I'm going to do this part. These three young men went to Assembly Park Bible Camp. And a couple weeks ago, I was talking with one of the counselors. And she wanted to take the time to tell me that these three young men were the shining example of Jesus Christ and everything they did. With their actions, with their worship, with their prayers. And I want to take the time just to recognize these three, to going up to Assembly Park Camp and showing forth the light of Jesus that's in them. And I want to say I'm so proud of you guys for going up there, for being shining examples of Jesus Christ in a river of hope. So thank you for doing that. All right, you guys can sit down now. Zach and Gage, come on up. So every week, we are very mission-oriented in Children's Church. My prayer is that one day, whether it's here, whether I'm called to a different church, no matter where I'm at, that a missionary will come in and they'll say, "Hey, Pastor Josh, do you remember me? I was in your Children's Church, and you talked to us about missions, and you talked to us about following God's path for us, and now I'm going on my first mission trip." That is my honest-to-goodness prayer, is that these young men and women will grow up to follow God and maybe go to foreign missions. I personally believe we are raising up the generation. You know, the Bible says the harvest is ready, but the workers are few. I believe we are now raising up that generation who is going to go up and reap the harvest that's ready. This world is ready, and the generations to come, they're going to be clamoring after Christ as we fall further away. More and more people are clamoring for that truth. And I personally believe we are raising up the generation who's going to take care of that. So every week, we talk about missions. And you should be able to ask any one of my kids these questions, and they should be able to answer them for you. The first, we raise money for, it's called BGMC. Gage, what does BGMC stand for?
Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge.
Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. That is who we raise our money for. Every week, we raise money. Zach, tell me what a missionary is.
Person who goes around the world preaching the gospel.
Very good. As someone who goes around the world preaching the gospel, our life verse, it's up on our wall. It says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Now, Children's Church kids, does that include Wisconsin? Yeah, that's part of the world. Does that include Medford? Does that include our schools? Yeah, so we can, just like Pastor Jesse told you, we tell you every week. You can go tell your friends and your family about Jesus. All right, Zach, why is it so important that we give money to missions?
So people can, get stuff to preach the gospel so they have cars and a home?
Yep. Yeah, we help them. We had the opportunity to talk to the Osbornes who are serving in Ukraine over Skype. And we learned because of our faithful giving, they're allowed to go take Russian classes. I don't know if any of you ever tried to learn Russian. It's not easy. And after 1 year, Wendy was able to report that she was able to have a full conversation in Russian and share the gospel with someone from Ukraine in Russian. And it's because of our giving. Now, this is the last question these kids should be able to answer every single time. So we talk about it every single week. Gage, what happens if someone dies and they don't know Jesus?
They go to hell. They go to hell.
How long is hell?
For an eternity.
Right. That's why it's so important. It's because just like God says he wants none to perish, that's what we feel too. That's why it's so important. That's why we give. One more question for you guys. I'll tell you, I'll have you know that, I'll get into this in a minute. Zach, tell me what a tithe is.
Oh, you give in money?
Yeah. How much are we supposed to give?
10%.
10%. Can we give more than 10%?
Yes.
Yeah. What is God looking for mainly when we give? We should give with a what?
Joyful heart.
A joyful heart. What about the widow who could only give 2 mites? What did Jesus say about her?
She actually gave more money than you because she gave all she had and you only gave part of what you had?
Yeah. The widow came forward and gave 2 mites. And some of the Pharisees were picking on her and ridiculing her. And he said, no, no, no. Truly I say to you, this woman gave more than you because she gave up all she has. You guys go have a seat. She gave up all she has where you gave up only part. So, I'd like to say that our kids understand what giving is. Our kids understand what a tithe is. Our kids give faithfully week in and week out with a joyful heart back to God. When this year started, I had to set forth a goal for BGMC, what we were going to raise. And I said, we're going to raise $400. And God said, not big enough. He said, I want you to have God-sized dreams, not your size dreams. And I said, okay, 500. He said, no, 1,200. That's $100 every month. And we have now raised, it's just over $400. Now you may say, well, that's short of the goal. But I've seen the reports from churches that are bigger than us. Our kids give faithfully and more per kid than those big churches give. And it's because of the values you parents are instilling in them. When those kids come in and they say, this is how much I made this week, this is how much I'm giving back to God, my heart leaps. When those kids say, I have this much, I only have to give this much, but I'm going to give more, my heart leaps. Your kids have a heart for missions, and it's wonderful to see. Now, we're going to keep on. I truly believe we can hit $800 more this year. And I have decided, well, Mrs. Lacey and I decided, but I'm the one putting, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I like my hair, and I like being clean. But I have decided to put my cleanliness on the line. We're going to keep on with the same incentives they have. They reach $100. But from now till the end of the year, we are doing a challenge called Turn Pastor Josh into a Human Sunday. For every $50 you guys bring in, from now to the end of the year, you get to add one more topping to the sundae. So for $50, whipped cream. Another $50, chocolate sauce. Another $50, cherries. Another $50, strawberry syrup. Another $50, nuts. No matter how much you bring in, we'll mix it all up, and you guys will be able to dump that over my head. And we talked about this 2 weeks ago. I said, you know, we're $800 away from our yearly goal of our goal of $1,200, and someone said that's impossible. And all I got to say to that is, with man, that is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So that is where we are. That is where we are. That's where we are with BGMC. And parents, I thank you for the values you are instilling in your kids when they come in week in and week out, when they understand what a tithe is, when they understand what giving is, and the heart I'm seeing for missions. And like I said, my prayer is that wherever God calls them to go, whether it be a pastor, whether it be a missionary, or we use you as an example a lot, John. Because I'll say, you know, John, Mr. John, he's not a pastor. He's not a missionary. But yet God is using him mightily here. If you don't know, John does a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and Travis and Dwayne. These men and Roland, they're doing stuff behind the scenes that a lot of you don't see that help keep this church running. And that is important too. And so I try to instill it every week, every week, every week, no matter where you are, no matter what you do. Keep searching after God and follow his path. So thank you, parents, for taking these values back home and instilling it back into your kids. And I'll just keep pouring into them. And like I said, gentlemen, you three right here, thank you so much for being a light that you were at camp this year.
That's pretty exciting stuff coming from our kids' ministry. And Josh and Lacey truly have a passion, not just for the kids, but for the lost in general. Josh is literally one of the most passionate people I know about evangelism, about reaching those that don't know Jesus. We're going to do our missions pledge offering here shortly. I had this verse I wanted to share. I intended to share it earlier and I forgot, but I'm going to share it right now. It's short. James chapter 4, verse 17. Before we read that and before we put it on the screen, a lot of times it's hard for us to hear a call from God. It's not always hard for us to hear it. Sometimes it's harder for us to hear it and put it into action. The harder part is putting it into action. If you know that God is calling you to do something, to step out into some ministry that he's put on your heart, if you know that he's calling you to put yourself in a challenge to give more to missions or to support a family in missions, or maybe he's challenging you to trust him a little bit more by giving him a little bit more of a tithe instead of the more meager. If you know without a doubt that he's speaking to you and he wants you to do something, James chapter 4, verse 17 has been weighing heavy on my heart in the past 2 months. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. I'm not trying to put a weight on you. I'm saying if God is speaking to you and you know it, I'm not trying to challenge you to do something you don't already feel led to do. But I want to make sure you are aware of the details of Scripture and the truth in it. That if we know what God is calling us to do and we decide on our own that we're not going to do it, we are sinning against God. This could come down to the way we give. It could come down to the way we volunteer and the way we serve. It could come down to us being called to another place, another city, another state, a mission field. If we know God is calling us and we decide that, you know what, I'm just gonna let this one go and we'll forget about it and I'm gonna do what I'm doing. We are allowing ourselves to fall into sin. I'm gonna leave that there. I'm not gonna ride that one anymore. What I want you to do now, like I said, I'm not challenging you with that verse over the missions pledge. That wasn't my intention at all. I'm hoping that through the service, through hearing some of the words we're sharing about our missionaries, the people that we support currently, that God's been placing it on your heart, what he wants you to do. The missions pledge has just your name, address, your city, your email, ways that we can get in touch with you to touch base, or maybe we'll get you the announcements that we get from missionaries. If you choose to take on a family, we can give you that their updates so you can keep track of them and what they're doing. There's some monthly support amounts. What we're asking people to do is to pray about what they can commit for a year. So we're asking for a 12-month commitment. There's suggested amounts of $10, of $25, of $50. If you do $10 a month, that's a little under half of one of our monthly sponsorships for one of our missionaries. $25 takes on one missionary for a month. That's what we're at with all of our missionaries, is $25 a month. If you can commit to $50, that allows us to take on two or continue supporting two that we currently have. What we're trying to do is once we get this back in, once we see what these pledges are, we're going to look at it. The board and myself are going to look at this and say, you know what? We've got that roster covered, but we've also got this money pledged to come in. And now I can say, all right, we can increase the amount we're giving these people. We can increase our pledge to help them even more, or we can bring in missionaries and continue to take them on and bring them onto our roster. God has called us not only to reach our own community, but to send those who are willing to go. God hasn't called each and every one of us to be missionaries. He hasn't called every one of us to be a pastor or a teacher. He has called us to be a disciple and to teach those around us how to live for Him and how to reach the lost. That means how we use our finances, how we use our words, how we use the gifts and skills God has given us. I'm going to pray this morning as you guys just take a minute to fill out those pledge cards. If right now you just need to spend some time in prayer, we can take these up next week as well. I'm not going to extend this pledge out past next week. We need a deadline so that we as a board can look at this and make some decisions about adding people and making any changes to our missions roster. Let's pray this morning as you're working on those pledge forms. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the heart and the challenge you've put in each and every one of us today. As we can look at that back wall and see those that you've brought through these doors to talk to us about their mission and about their mission field, Lord, we know that that is what you have given them, the call you have placed on their life. Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us would hear from you, what you would have us to do, Lord, even if it's a sacrifice, God, that you're calling us to make, that you would help us trust in you, increase our faith in you and what you're going to do through us, through our finances, and through our investment into reaching the lost. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray in your holy name that you would continue to bless those in the mission field, that you would continue to bring advancements in ways they can communicate, that you would continue to give them favor in their cities, in their nations, Lord, that you would pave the way that they are to walk, that you would make their path clear to communicate your gospel, Lord, and that it would bring forth fruit and they would reap what they sow, God. We thank you for those who are called to be workers in your field. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to impact us each and every day, that you would help us begin to have a little bit more confidence, that you would fill us each fresh and new to have the power and the wisdom to speak truth to those around us. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in each and every one of our lives every day. We thank you for the advancement of your gospel all around the world. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. We're going to run a basket around real quick to collect any missions pledge offerings that are filled out. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. This really means a lot. River of Hope is a missional-minded church. We hope that you would reach out into your mission field. That's your city. That's your workplace. That's your school. And that you would do what you can do each and every day. Thank you for coming today. Have a great Sunday afternoon. This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive. This is what it sounds like.